Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about, one of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting/kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning. Cup of murder.
In the beginning, it's hard to know if a person is truly missing, which can put a delay on a case. On March 13, 2000, a young woman was reported missing in a case that saw loved ones unsure of if she just went off on a trip or if something nefarious had happened. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Leah Toby Roberts, born July 23, 1976, was the youngest of three children living with their parents in Durham, North Carolina. Things took a turn when her father was diagnosed with a chronic lung illness when she was just 17 years old, and a great deal of strain was placed on the entire family right around the time that she went off to North Carolina State University in nearby Rowley. Then, when she was just 20 years old, her mother suddenly died from heart disease, and Leah decided to take some time off of school to grieve with her family. Then, after returning to school in the fall of 1998, Leah herself was involved in a serious car accident that resulted in a punctured lung, shattered femur, and the insertion of a metal rod to try and help the bone heal. Speaking with her sister after the crash, Leah said she saw the truck she hit pull out in front of her and was certain in that moment that she wasn't going to survive. Feeling, quote, born again by her brush with death, she decided to take another break from college and live her life to the fullest. But it seemed like the Roberts family couldn't really catch a break because just 3 weeks before she was scheduled to leave for a field program in Costa Rica, Leah's father passed away after his long battle with his illness. Leah, though devastated, decided to continue with the program. And since she was leaving the country soon and no longer had any living parents, she granted her sister Kara power of attorney over her bank accounts, which held her newly gained inheritance, put her degree in Spanish and anthropology on hold indefinitely, and then dropped out of school with just 6 months left till graduation. The loss of her parents and her own struggles changed Leah Roberts in a way that no one really understood. Not only did she leave school despite her siblings' persuasions, but she took up new hobbies, adopted a kitten, started writing poetry and journaling, and began hanging out in coffee houses with her new friends. friends like Jeannie Quiller and her roommate, Nicole Bennett. She became obsessed with Jack Kerouac and often discussed the idea of emulating the Beat Generation and going on a road trip out west. Which is why, when she suddenly disappeared in March of 2000, many thought she had simply gone off to live that new dream. On March 9, 2000, Leah spoke on the phone with Kara about her future plans. Though no commitments were made at the time, at the end of the conversation, the sisters hung up with the understanding that they were going to meet up sometime soon. Later that afternoon, Leah and Nicole agreed to do some babysitting together the next day, and the roommate went off to work. When she returned later, she noticed that Leah's 1993 white Jeep Cherokee was not there anymore, meaning that Leah had likely gone for the day. Thinking nothing of it, knowing her new friend was pretty unpredictable and newly out of school was living off of her inheritance until she came up with her next move, when Leah didn't show up at the babysitting appointment the next day and did not return later that evening, she knew that something might be wrong. Waiting a few more days, it wasn't until March 13th that Kara, finally finding out about her sister's absence, reported her missing with the local police. The following day, Kara showed up at Leah's apartment and, along with Nicole, searched her room to see if they could find anything that might point to her whereabouts. They noticed that a significant amount of her clothing was missing, suggesting the young woman packed up with the intention of spending quite a length of time away from home. Also in the room was a note that read, "I'm not suicidal, I'm the opposite," mentioned Kerouac, and had with it a bundle of cash that amounted to 1 month's worth of rent and her share of the expenses. Signed off with an illustration of the Cheshire Cat's grin, Kara saw all of these items and started to feel a little bit more assured. Believing the cat was meant to convey her sister's intentions of disappearing and eventually reappearing, like the character from the story, Kara started to take a look at Leah's bank account just in case and noticed that several thousands of dollars were withdrawn on the afternoon of March 9th and that her debit card had been used to pay for a motel in Memphis, Tennessee. With later transactions popping up for things like gas and food, it looked as though Leah was traveling west along Interstate 40 before heading north on Interstate 5 and reaching the I-40's western end in California. The very last purchase was for gas on March 13th in Banks, Oregon. Then, after that, all activity ceased, and Kara found herself at another dead end. Wanting desperately to understand what was going on with her sister, Kara and Susie Smith, Leah's best friend, went to some of the Durham coffee shops that she frequented and found Jeannie Quiller hanging out. She told the women that she and Leah often spoke about Jack Kerouac, and more specifically, his book called The Dharma Bums, in which he wrote about how, for a time, he worked as a U.S. Forest Service fire lookout on Desolation Peak in Washington and found that he was profoundly affected by the Cascade Mountains' beauty. She claimed that Leah expressed interest in seeing the landscape for herself. And with that, Kara felt as though she had finally found the last missing piece to explain her sister's absence. Though Leah still failed to use the money in her account, Kara felt relieved to know that she was simply emulating her favorite author and should be back once she got her fill of the open road. All that confidence, however, completely left her body when, on March 18, 2000, Kara sat waiting for her sister to call and wish her a happy 26th birthday. Instead, she got a note from the Durham County Sheriff's Office telling her to call the office in Bellingham, Washington. When she did, she found out that the officers had, just earlier that day, found Leah Roberts' Jeep abandoned in a remote area of the forest. According to their claims, a couple was out jogging that day along Canyon Creek Road when they happened upon some articles of clothing along the top of the slope, some of which had been tied to trees and branches along the roadside. Finding it odd, they investigated a little further, and there, at the bottom of a steep embankment, was Leah's severely damaged vehicle. She herself was nowhere to be found. Given the damage, officers determined that the Jeep had to have been traveling at nearly 40 miles per hour when it went off the road and down the slope. The contents inside were tossed around, consistent with multiple rollovers, but no blood was found inside or outside of the vehicle, almost as if no one was inside the Jeep when it crashed, leading investigators to suggest that the accident might have been staged or planned out beforehand. What they also noticed was that, still inside, were blankets and pillows that made some sort of shelter inside the wreckage, and scattered throughout the surrounding woods were Leah's passport, checkbook, driver's license, clothing, guitar, and CDs. There was also a cat carrier and food for her kitten, but the animal has never been found. With quite a bit of money and jewelry left behind, police immediately ruled out robbery as the reason for the accident, and Leah's siblings, desperate to know more, packed up and flew to Bellingham to assist in the ensuing investigation. While they were posting flyers all over the area and inquiring about their sister inside various local businesses, investigators continued sifting through the wreckage and found a box of mementos that helped to create a timeline for Leah's movements prior to the discovery. Like the movie ticket stub for the March 13th showing of American Beauty at the Bellingham Bellis Fair shopping mall, which suggested that, after arriving in the city, she likely spent a few hours hanging out before making that 5 to 6 hour drive to Oregon where she purchased her gas. Realizing that there was a lone sit-down restaurant near the theater, Kara and her brother Heath believed that this was likely where their sister went for a meal either before or after the movie. Police, believing this hunch, were led to two customers who were there that day, both men, who not only recalled seeing Leah Roberts at the restaurant, but had both sat on either side of her at the counter that day, talking about Kerouac and her travel plans. One man claimed that she left with a third man, whom he heard her call Barry, and provided enough of a description of the man that police were able to get a sketch. However, neither the other man nor any of the other customers who had been there could corroborate this third man's existence. With that, believing that this Barry wasn't even real, the man became a possible suspect. Needing more, the Jeep was towed to the police garage, and now joined by the FBI, they began performing a more thorough search. By the end of it, they were sure that Leah Roberts had been the victim of some sort of foul play. Between what little she spent, which would be nearly impossible if she was alive and well in the city, and her beloved mother's engagement ring, the one she never took off and treasured more than anything left discarded on the floor, Kara and Heath started to worry that their sister, seriously injured after an accident, might have wandered off into the woods. Police spent the next 2 weeks with dogs searching the woods, but even with helicopters taking to the skies for aerial searches, Leah remained a missing person. Last seen on security footage from that Oregon gas station, looking alive and in good condition, she did seem to be peering into the parking lot while waiting for her transaction to be complete, leading officers to wonder if she was traveling with some sort of companion. A man who, after sweeping the Jeep for any DNA and finding nothing, must have never actually entered her vehicle. Then, a few days after the Jeep was found, a man called the local police and claimed that his wife saw Leah Roberts, alive, disoriented, and confused, wandering around a gas station in Everett. Closer to Seattle, after disclosing this information, the man seemed to panic and hung up suddenly without ever identifying himself. The tip was considered credible, and this, as far as anyone knows, is the last time anyone saw Leah Roberts. While the case made its way into the media and onto shows like Unsolved Mysteries, back in North Carolina, Kara contacted a Wilmington woman named Monica Kaysen, who helped families find their missing loved ones, no matter how cold the case was. With the help of a network of volunteers, Monica, in 2005, organized a caravan across the country to follow Leah's known route into Bellingham, in hopes of raising awareness about the case, as well as other missing persons cases, and hope that someone somewhere might come forward with some information. This has since become an annual event, but in the end, the young girl's whereabouts remained a mystery. Then in 2006, after the office agreed with Kara's request to keep Leah's car in case there were any new clues that turned up, a detective named Mark Joseph passed the files along to two younger detectives who noticed that the Jeep and its contents had not been fully processed when initially brought in. Deciding to finally finish the job, dotting all the I's and crossing all their T's, they found that no one looked under the car's hood. And once they pried it open, the men found that there was a cut wire that would allow the car to accelerate without anyone having to press down on the gas pedal. This confirmed earlier suspicions that the car was empty when it left the road, purposely wrecked for reasons unknown. And when a fingerprint was found under the hood, along with some male DNA on an article of Leah's clothing, investigators crossed their fingers that this would finally lead to her mystery companion. Maybe even the Barry the man from the restaurant mentioned. Realizing that the alteration to the Jeep could only be accomplished by someone with advanced mechanical knowledge, police were led straight back to the second man at the restaurant, the one who implicated Barry in the first place, who also just so happened to be a mechanic with a military background. Now living in Canada, the man was brought back into the States so his fingerprints could be compared to those found on the hood of the Jeep. In the end, however, they were not a match. As of 2011, police were still waiting on a DNA match. But as of 2022, no arrests or discoveries had been made or announced to the public. The case remains unsolved. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to A Terrible Thing Happened on March 14th. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.